It is the law of love. It is fulfilling the law. It is maintaining its perfect divine selfhood in spite of what you may see in the way of physical images. When something in you says that is true, you will rest in that knowledge that there is one divine self over this entire earth. I am that one divine self. And when I find the one divine self in me, that is the center, but not of my body. It is the center of the infinite self. My divine self in me is the center of the infinite. The entire infinite universe functions through the center of myself. I am the center of my universe. And you cannot be the center of your universe when you are a personal self, apart from the one divine self all around you. And so you limit yourself to this birth span from beginning to end, because I am a personal me. And the glory and grace of the infinite never touches us when we are so limited in our consciousness. Now then, there is one infinite self, and there is no one to be excluded from that. Every image is a challenge and a test. Do you accept the image or the one infinite self that is there? What does your consciousness accept? God or mammon? Invisible spirit or physical appearance? You see, this must be lived with until you have caught that all that can be there is God. Your daughter was God all the time. Your son was God all the time. And you were worrying about God coming home early or late, God getting married correctly or not. You were accepting that there was a birth. The Hebrews didn't understand one God either. They thought it was one God up there and all of us Hebrews down here. But it wasn't. Each Hebrew was a physical image of an invisible divine life that could never be separated from itself. There was one divine life, and that one divine life was the one God. And every physical form was merely the evidence of mental concepts that had been entertained about that invisible. Concepts that had entertained themselves into a form, an outer appearance, a concept that had no relationship to the reality. The form that is born becomes the form that ultimately dies, and you find then that it was never of the Father. It was a changing image. We have the story so far of self-love, which wants divine love. And so that you may be sure, self-love can never receive divine love. Listen to this. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Talking about self-love. Whoever then is involved with self-love will find great tribulation. And I will kill her children with death. You see, Jezebel is only the symbol of self-love. I will kill her children with death. What are the children of self-love? Everything that we do humanly is a child of self-love. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. The Christ within can't be fooled. You're in Christ within, or you're in self-love. You're in Christ, or you're in personal me. Who decides your experience? You do. Your consciousness makes its decisions. It keeps you in a sense of personal me, or it releases you to Christ. And that is the meaning of, I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Your consciousness will decide what you receive. In personal self, all of your children, all the children of self-love, all the children of personal selfhood are condemned to death. Can anything be more explicit? And looking around you, isn't it true that whoever is in a personal self is condemned to death? Do you know any personal self that isn't going to die? Do you see any personal deeds that anyone takes with them? So we are being lifted into the awareness that humanhood and Jezebel are one and the same. Humanhood is personal self. And as long as you have a personal self, it is going to die. And the deeds of personal self are condemned to death. We're in the Word of the Father, telling us nothing shall stand in this universe but my spirit, because nothing else is in this universe. An image cannot be sustained by the divine. Only the divine image, only the light of your being is sustained by the Father. Now then, a conviction should have been reached in us. That quality in me, that core of humanhood, which has been the focus of a certain part of my life up to a point, which refuses to die, must be reborn into a new awareness. There must be a regeneration. And as that core of humanhood is dissolved, you will discover a new life coming forth, the regenerated life, the real life, issuing forth that which is called the infinite self, the Word made flesh, as your very being. And that self, the children of that self, are not committed to death. The deeds of that self are prospered. The deeds of that self are ordained. The Spirit goes before the children, the deeds, the acts of that self, and prepares the way. Only for that Spirit self does the power of Spirit function. And if we be a handful of disciples, fine. If we be but one, fine. But we will only be that one if we live in the awareness that all in me that is not divine must be cut away. I must see through it into the light of being all that in my past was accepted, which was not divine, must be seen as that which never was. There can be no past to womanhood if only spirit exists. There can be no future to humanhood if only spirit exists, and there can be no present. Spirit has no past, no present, no future in this world. But it is omnipresent. Now we're going to have to find the way to live not in the false sense of self, that we may glorify the love of the Father in us. And so it says, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden." There is a place when, after having put forth the effort to tear down that which is not you, to come out of that which is not you, the tear down ends and the build up begins. "At a certain place I will put upon you no other burden, because you are now putting forth the dedicated spiritual effort to be aware of spiritual self. The karmas only continue as long as we insist on the personal self. Then the extra burdens continue. But when you are striving to come out of the sense of a personal me, into the acceptance of an infinite being as the only, as my being, as his being, as her being, then the burdens begin to stop. And you notice the tide is turning. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." Now that line may be rather insignificant at the moment. "That which ye have already, hold fast till I come." But it can become one of the most significant things when suddenly, even though the fields are barren for you, even though as you look around and say, "Well, there's someone less deserving than I, but they have more." That isn't true. Always the inner spirit is complete, perfect, present. And if you let yourself fall into the mistake of believing the outer appearances of people who are less deserving than you but have more, or the barren fields, you are mistaken. So hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to your consciousness of truth, to that which ye have, until I come. And when I come, then you say, "Thank God I held fast." Because I come quickly and I come often. This I that comes, lifting you suddenly into the fields of glory, does so in a manner that no words can express. And repeatedly, and lifts you into mansions you never dreamed existed, if you hold fast. If you look at that which is barren, knowing it cannot be, for God is all and God is abundant. A barren appearance means nothing to me. A sick appearance means nothing to me. A dying appearance means nothing to me. Why? Because the one divine life is not sick, is not barren, is not dying. This is holding fast. Until I come, and that I is your spiritual consciousness realized, suddenly pouring forth the fullness of what you had accepted in the invisible to be there. The holding fast then is asking you to be willing to walk on the water of invisible spirit. Be willing to see these stretches of nothing with a knowledge that they are filled invisibly with the fullness of the Father. Until I come. And then you'll see the Father who seeth in secret pours forth plenteously. And even that is just the beginning. Now we come to the important part here. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. To keep my works unto the end means to live not in self-love, in a personal sense of attainment, in a seeking or a striving for something for me, but to honor the Christ within, to keep my works, is to honor Christ within yourself. That's what Jesus taught. If you love me, follow me. He who loves the Father will love the Son. Who is the Son of the Father? The Christ within you. To keep my works means to love the Christ within you more than you love your personal sense of self. Only you know if you're doing that. But even though the world may not know if you're doing that or not, the Christ of you knows. And that is why it is said that Christ examines the heart. If you're not living in the Christ sense of self, then you're living in the personal sense of self. You're not keeping my works till the end. Fidelity to Christ within is part of the overcoming. Now let's devise a method here which will tell us if we're being faithful to the works of the Father, which means the activity of Christ within. This is something each of us must practice either as you are going to hear it or as you understand it or in some way related to this. If you do not go through a day denying the omnipresence of God, you will discover the glory of God following you, pursuing you, living your life. If you can find a way not to deny the omnipresence of God. I may be understating it, but I may not. I'm bringing it to a place where you can see that living in God is not all as complicated as the many volumes in the library would indicate. That ability not to deny his presence everywhere is continuing in my works to the end. And so I have a little list here which you can use to see if you are being tricked into denying God's presence in a way that you didn't know you were being tricked. Now let's just start with simple things. Something that is not to do with your physical body, but somebody else's. Let's take a friend who is sick. Now you have a sick friend. Do you accept that? Now, why would you accept a sick friend except that you believe there is a self over there? There is a self over there called a friend. Now, do you see that there isn't a self over there called a friend at all? You have divided many selves again. You're not living in the consciousness of one divine self. And so, when you have a sick friend over there, you should now be alerted to the fact that you have come out of the consciousness of one divine self. The moment you accept a sick friend, you have a separate self which isn't divine. The divine self doesn't get sick. Who is that friend that you have called sick? Someone who is not the divine self. You know where that puts you? Right out of Eden. And so right there you have denied omnipresence. The minute there is anybody on the face of the earth that you call sick, you have found a place where God is not. You will pay the price. Divine love will not flow into you because your consciousness is not continuing in my works unto the end. Now then, you've got to go back into the realization that the only self there is the Father, the invisible divine Father, the one invisible life that is here and there. It isn't sick. All right, now you've got a sick image, but you don't have a sick self. You don't have sick life. You've got a sick appearance. Now let's recognize then that the one life of the Father is right there where the sick appearance is. Which is the reality? The invisible divine life or the sick appearance? You know it's the invisible divine life. Now you want to make that sick appearance a happy appearance. But if the one invisible divine life is there and it is the only reality, what you're really trying to do is to change unreality from badness to goodness. And you're in the trap, aren't you? You're not accepting that only the one divine life is there. You've got two there. You've got the one divine life and the sick appearance. Which one is going to go out of your consciousness? Are you going to acknowledge me, the divine life, in all thy ways, with all thy heart, soul, and mind? How can you then acknowledge the appearance of something called sick? You're being disobedient to the fact that only the one divine life is there. Now learn something else. That one divine life that is there is also an invisible spiritual body there. That the one divine life is divinely manifest, invisibly, right there. The Word is made invisible flesh, right there. You are seeing your friend incorrectly. You are not seeing your friend's invisible spiritual body right there. You are in error. You are a false witness. You are looking through the eye of a human being. And the reason you are looking through the eye of a human being is because you have not accepted the same truth where you stand. You have not accepted that the place whereon thou standest is holy ground, because right where you are is divine life. And it is spiritually manifest, invisibly, as a perfect spiritual body. The divine life that you are has immaculately conceived itself right where you are as a perfect spiritual body. And you are not living in that body consciously. And so you look out through your image at another image. But now reverse that get back into the acceptance of what this letter to the church is all about. This letter is to the Christ of you, so that the false outer consciousness can awaken to your spiritual self, your spiritual body, where you stand. And you must look at the world from that consciousness, accepting that everywhere the one invisible life is invisibly manifest, and maintaining that manifestation. The Word made flesh invisibly is infinite and perfect everywhere now. Everywhere in this universe, infinite spiritual body exists under spiritual law now. And the appearance of a sick friend is but a false concept entertained about that invisible perfect manifestation. You are to continue in the works of spirit, and therefore you rest in the knowledge that here where I am is perfect spiritual body. There where the appearance of friend is perfect spiritual body. And it is being maintained by perfect spiritual law. I am overcoming. He that overcomes will I give power over nations. Over the material beliefs of the world. This one happening to be sickness. I am overcoming the belief that sickness can exist where the one divine life alone is. Now, what more do you have to do about it? If somebody tells you the sun isn't in the sky, do you have to find it and put it back there? It is in the sky. If somebody tells you they're sick, do you have to go and find their divine life and put it back there? It is there. The fact that the sun is out of the sky is a lie, because it is in the sky. The fact that there is sickness is a lie, because the divine life is there alone, and it is not sick. You are accepting omnipresence. Your acceptance is all that is necessary. You are accepting the fact. Knowing that the fact accepted in your consciousness will then become a visible fact. You are standing in the one consciousness. You're not being tempted to do something about a lie. You are maintaining the integrity of the one divine life. You are continuing in my works. You are overcoming the belief that there is something beside my one divine life. You are being an Israelite. You are not making the mistake of a one God in the heaven, but of a one divine being whom we all are. Jezebel is gone. There's no self to love other than the one divine self. There's no personal friend there. There's no personal me here to see a personal friend there. There is the one divine self being itself here and now. And the hypnotism of something other than that one self has been discovered, which enables you to stand ye still. And behold, the salvation of that one divine life will now express itself visibly. Through your enlightened consciousness here, it will appear there. You are accepting omnipresence. You are not denying the omnipresent one divine life. And anything that denies it, you know, is a lie, an unreality. Any form of sickness is a denial of the one omnipresent divine life. And if you love any other life more than the one omnipresent divine life, you are not getting the message of divine love. Love me, Love your father. Love the Christ. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You lay down every human concept, and you simply accept that divine life is there. There is no power on earth to push it away. No power on earth to make it undivine. No power on earth to make it anything except its own perfect self. Everywhere. And therefore, what is this? If it cannot push away the perfect divine self, what is it? Hypnosis. You are hypnotized. You are looking at what is not there. And you are looking at it because that of you which is not here is doing the looking. Find your divine center. Be true to it. And you will find your divine center is the center of all that is divine in this universe. Each of us in the miracle of infinity is the divine center of infinity. You were never less. Now, whenever you find a sickness then, you have found a non-existence, and you are being untrue to the one divine life, and divine love will not flow into your experience under those conditions. Only when you overcome the belief that there is another place, another life, another self than the one divine life, will you be given the power over nations, the power over materiality. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father. When you have accepted one divine life, then the power of that divine life by itself breaks all other powers as the vessels of a potter thrown upon the ground. All powers in the world are shattered by the truth, which is the rod. The truth of spirit, the truth of the one divine life maintained by you shatters every false appearance of power. There is nothing can stand against your knowledge of one perfect divine life here, there, everywhere. Nothing can stand against it. For as I have received of my Father, I am that one divine life, that Christ within you. As I have received of my Father, so you receive of me. When you have accepted one divine life to be your life, you have accepted Christ to be your name. And what Christ has received from the Father becomes your permanent dispensation. Now, this is the truth of our being now. We all know it. Our problem isn't to know it anymore, it's to practice it, isn't it? We all know that we are divine life. We know that our name is Christ. We know that the Spirit of God is our only name. It is the practicing of that truth that is going to make the difference in whether we overcome the belief in a second self. Now you say, I lack. I'm short this month. You see how ridiculous that is, in truth? Because the you that is short is saying, I'm not divine life. And the moment you have accepted the shortness, the lack, you have accepted that I am not the divine life, and that is precisely why you're short. The belief that you could be other than the divine life is that which externalizes as that which is lack. So when you see lack in your life, don't be fooled. We've had too many years of that, being fooled by it. Now we can look at the lack and say, that's another appearance, like a sick friend. There's only one divine life. I have all the hidden manna there is. The only reason it hasn't shown is because I, in my foolishness, had thought that I was a human self, not a divine. And a human self is a finite divided being apart from the one infinite. I just told the infinite, go away, I don't want any part of you. I'm a human being. But I'm not. I am the one divine self, and the fullness of the Father flows through its own infinite selfhood. And therefore I look at the appearance of lack, but I will not deny omnipresence of the one divine life. And now you can see that you've been spending your days denying the omnipresence of the one divine life and wondering why divine love isn't expressing in your life. It's like putting up a sign on the door and saying, don't come in, and wondering why nobody comes in. But as you are divine life and accept it, you must learn to reject everything that denies that you are divine life. And then everything that denies you are divine life being rejected, you are continuing in my works. You are overcoming. You are being a faithful son. And the Father within, who examines the reins and the hearts, who knoweth in secret, rewards thee openly, because the one consciousness accepted as yours by accepting one divine life assures you of being under the government of God. Now, here's a little list. Lack, limitation, pain, disaster, change, seeking, asking, striving, praying, seeing individuals instead of the one, fear, criticism, planning, desire, seeing evil, hearing evil, speaking evil, resisting evil. Do you see how limitless the list is? And we do these things every day. We see evil, we hear evil, we speak evil, we resist evil. That's all a denial of the one divine life. So find your divine center. I am the one divine life. I am overcoming the belief that I am not the one divine life. That's my overcoming. Now, if I'm the one divine life, I cannot favor me over that fellow, because he's the one divine life. I'm letting the one divine life live itself. Let the Christ live itself. You see, now you've got to come into the trust of that one divine life. The acceptance of it is walking upon the Spirit, walking upon the living waters of confidence. I am the one divine life, and therefore my eternal self is already fulfilled. And I will give him the morning star. As you're willing to accept the one divine life and are faithful unto it, I will give thee the morning star. There is a light shining in the darkness. And if you're willing to accept divinity as the only self, that light will shine through the darkness. And it will be visible. That light will be the illuminating light of self coming through your consciousness. The morning star. The day star. The star that accompanies you throughout the day, to give you that inner Christ vision of reality. That morning star is the illumination we have all been seeking. It can only come to one who is faithful to one divine life everywhere, who will see no other life, accept no other appearance, knowing that the invisible self is right there and right here, and we are one, and I will be still in that. And in this realization, the morning star in you begins to rise. It rises into your consciousness to enlighten it, to shine in it, and then to shine through it and out of it and to bless the world. Christ born in you is the morning star. Let him who hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Always this hearing what the Spirit saith means keep listening within, because there's more to follow. You're never through. Greater things shall ye do. This morning star is just beginning to rise in consciousness. As we now walk forth in the realization that I and the Father are the same one divine life. Thou seest me, thou seest the divine life of the Father, invisible to your eyes, but nonetheless, nothing else is here. I see you, but I only see the appearance. All that is there is the one perfect divine life of the Father. Does it have a witness in your consciousness? If it does, you have found the morning star, and it will light your way. It will become a lamp unto your feet. Now we have our divine center, the realization that I am that divine life, which is the life of the Father. And I did not begin at birth, because the Father's life did not begin with my human birth. I had no beginning. I am that infinite divine life. And underline that word infinite in your consciousness, so you will never accept the appearance of finitude as a fact. There is nothing finite in the infinite. Now this is the change that is taking place in our consciousness. As human beings, we look at a world outside of ourselves, over which we have a sort of quasi-control up to a point. Ultimately, it controls us. It has dominion over our forms. It tells us when we're to die. It tells us when we're to be sick. That's our mortal self, the one we're learning we never were. There is also the reality of us, and it is not a human life looking out into the world. It is the infinite life looking into itself. Your within is your infinite self looking within itself. There is nothing outside of your infinite life. Everything in infinite life is within itself. And that is why you are told the kingdom of God is within you. You will learn that you can live in the infinite self looking within, and your entire life will unfold within your infinite realization. You will not be looking from within to the without. You will not be looking at an external world outside of you. Everything that happens in infinity happens within infinity. And we are all that one infinite divine self. We will now see the world happen within that infinite self and under infinite law. To the degree that we are able to let ourselves make this change of consciousness from the finite, mortal, dying self to the infinite, divine, undying, eternal self. The one life that ever was and ever will be and never began and never will end. This is how you will come ultimately to that seventh step, which is the Christ consciousness, completely realized unto eternity. Now that's the fourth letter. I've been receiving reports from those who have received tapes saying something's happening in me I can't describe. And that's about the feeling I hope we're all in. Because as this happens, you can be sure that which you can't describe is spiritual activity. It is taking root. It is finding a home in your consciousness. and it will govern your life with spiritual truth, with one power, a power that knows no other power than the perfect divine love. It will do it all by itself through grace, if you will continue in my works until the end. Let's try a little silence now, and in your center, know that when you have found your spiritual self, it is a center of an infinite universe. And all of infinity is pouring always to that center and through it. Never are you limited to your own human abilities. Nothing is impossible. There is no limitation. There is no height. There is no ceiling. The infinite self will always express its own infinite self through your divine center, as you're living in the knowledge of one divine life. I am. My neighbor is. My friend is. All are. I am that divine center of infinity. And then let go and accept what infinity pours into your life.